So we're continuing our study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, fourth chapter. This is text number 3. And previously, oh, by the way, this chapter is entitled The Appearance of Sri Narada Muni. Narada Muni appears at an assembly of sages who are going to hear the Bhagavatam. Shonaka Rishi requests Suta Goswami to please speak the Bhagavatam that he heard from Shukadeva Goswami. Kasmin yuge pravitteyam staneva kena hetuna kuta sanchodita krishna Pritavam samhitam muni kasmin, in which, yuge, period, pravritta, was begun, iyam, this, stane, in the place, va, or, kena, on what? Hetuna, ground. Kuta, where from? Sanchodita, inspired by. Krishna Dvaipayan Vyas. Kritavan, compiled. Samhitam, Vedic literature. Muni, the learned. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. In what period and at what place was this first begun, and why was this taken up? From where did Krishna Dvaipayan Vyas, the great sage, get the inspiration to compile this literature? So this is Shonaka Rishi asking this question to Suta Goswami. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the special contribution of Srila Vyasadeva, there are so many inquiries by the learned Shonaka Muni. It was known to them that Srila Vyasadeva had already explained the text of the Vedas in various ways up to the Mahabharata for the understanding of less intelligent women, Shudras, and fallen members of the family of twice-born men. Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental to all of them because it has nothing to do with anything mundane. So the inquiries are very intelligent and relevant. Om Jnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militanyena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Mukam karoti vachalam pangun langayate girim yat kripa tamahum bande shi gurun dinotarinam vancha kaupa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Kasmin Yuge Pravrittehyam Stanivakena Hetuna Kuta Sanchodita Krishna Pritavan Samhita Muni. In what period and at what place was this first begun? And why was this taken up? From where did Krishna Dvaipayan Vyas, the great sage, get the inspiration to compile this literature? So Shonaka Rishi has invited Suta Goswami to speak. There's an assembly of sages. And of course, when an assembly of sages get together, one person is chosen to address the assembly, to speak Harikatha, to speak for the benefit not only of all present, but for all mankind, so that the message spoken at this one place can be taken to other places. This is called the Parampara system. So Suta Goswami was chosen particularly because he was present at an earlier gathering of sages where Shukdev Goswami originally spoke. Here we have a painting of Shukdev Goswami speaking. Vishnu Vyasadeva is sitting there. Narada Muni is also sitting there, and Suta Goswami is also sitting there. So, in this particular gathering of sages, Shukdev Goswami was requested to speak because he was considered the most advanced or the most qualified to speak, and now Suta Goswami is considered the most qualified and the most fortunate so that he can speak. And the reason is because he was there previously and heard the Bhagavatam from Shukdev Goswami, who heard it from Vyasadev. So in this way, we see the Parampara system is being carried forward right here. So Suta Goswami is considered the most fortunate and respected of all the sages present. So therefore let him speak and recite the Srimad Bhagavatam to relate the great, pure, divine message of Srimad Bhagavatam, which was spoken by the great and powerful sage Shukadeva Goswami to the great and powerful king Parikshit Maharaj. So he's asking various questions. Where was this first begun? Why was this first taken up? And from where did Krishna Dvaipayan Vyas, the great sage, get the inspiration to compile this literature? So we understand from Srila Prabhupada coming in Parampara that previous ages before Vyas, that people were able to recite the Bhagavatam and commit it to their memory. They were able to understand it by heart. And they would speak it and recite it without resorting to a book. But as Dwapara Yuga was coming to a close and Kali Yuga was coming stronger and stronger, Vyasadeva realized that people's lives would become shorter, their intelligence would become less, their memory would become less, and unless he could write it down to preserve the teachings, it would all be lost. So that's the answer to that question. Where did he get the inspiration to compile this literature? Because he realized that if I don't compile it, the four Vedas, the Puranas, the Itihasas, the Upanishads, and Mahabharata, if I don't compile it, it will be lost. People will not be able to remember, they'll forget it more and more. And so, when Vyasadeva's wife was pregnant with Shukadev, he would recite the Bhagavatam to her. He was writing it, and he was reciting it, and she would hear it, and in the womb, the little child would hear it also. So the little child heard the Bhagavatam and thought, what's the point of getting born and coming into the material world? It just doesn't make sense. He heard the Bhagavatam. I don't want to come into the material world. Although he's in a difficult situation, he's not in the spiritual world, he's not yet in the material world, he's in the mother's womb. There's only one way to come. He can't go back. He has to come forward. So finally, he had no other choice but to come, to be born. But when he was born, he immediately realized he didn't forget everything like we do. When we're born, we forget everything. Everything we knew in the past, we forget. Forget how to walk, how to talk, how to read, how to write, how to eat, how to dress, how to bathe, and how to go to the toilet. We have to learn it all over again every time we take birth. But Shukadeva did not forget these things. So he remembered and he realized that the only valuable thing is spiritual knowledge, just like Dhruva Maharaj realized this. He had originally gone to the forest as part of a vendetta to get revenge from being insulted. His father had insulted him and his mother because she was the second wife of the king, and the first wife was getting the preference, and the first wife was also insulting. So he went to the forest to perform tapasyas, to get a boon that he will have a greater kingdom than his father. I'll show you, you know. That was his mood. Not exactly pure, not exactly unmotivated. But he was so fixed up, drida vrata, he had taken such a fixed, strong, determined vow that nothing could deter him, even though he was just 5 years old. And he sat in Padmasana in the forest and recited this mantra, which he was told to recite by Narad Muni, Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya. Day and night he chanted that mantra, week after week, month after month, never stopping for anything. He would not stop chanting that mantra because he was so determined. And of course, by chanting that mantra, he became so purified that Narayan, Sri Vishnu himself, appeared before Dhruva. Oh, my dear Dhruva, you have chanted so nicely, you are so determined. Will you please tell me what benediction you require? What boon can I give you? And Dhruva Maharaj had become so purified that when he saw Narayan, he saw Vishnu, he said, oh my God, now that I've seen you, everything else that I thought had any value are just like broken pieces of glass. Yeah, I don't even want anything else. No, I'm done. But Vishnu said, it's okay, that's very nice, but I'm going to fulfill your desires. You will have a great kingdom. You will enjoy material life, and I'll give you your own planet. You'll have everything. And I know that you will not fall down. I know that you will not be deviated from spiritual life because you are so fixed up. Now with us, Krishna doesn't know that we're so fixed up. With us, we would become deviated if we were given these boons. So therefore, Krishna is very careful what he gives. Money is the root of all evil. If it's in the hands of a person who is weak. Prabhupada instructed us one time. He said, you can never trust a person who can't control their senses. I always remember that. You can never trust a person who can't control their senses. So, if you see someone, and you notice that they can't control their senses, you cannot trust them. You cannot put your faith in them. If you do, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be let down. You're going to be heartbroken. So at any rate, Srimadeva Goswami, he also came out completely pure, same mood as Dhruva Maharaj. He didn't desire anything. And he just, you know, when he was born, he'd been in the womb for so long that when he was born, he didn't forget how to walk and talk. He was already developed. And he just left. So Vyasadeva and the mother, they were a little upset. Wait a minute, you're our child, come back. No, he's not interested. Just naked, he just walked away, going into the forest. I'm going to meditate. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to get entangled. So Vyasadeva, the great sage Vyasadeva, ran after his son. Oh, please come back. You'll break your mother's heart. Please come back. So what Shukadeva did was he expanded himself into two. And one of them went back, got married, and led a normal life. The other one is the one that we're interested in. He walked into the forest and he found a gathering of sages there. And the sages, as soon as they saw him, they welcomed him. They could see immediately that he was completely transcendental. He was so advanced. They said, oh, please, here, you take Vyasa-san, you please sit, you speak to us. They're only interested to hear Harikatha, to hear the message that will inspire them to act and think in such a way as to get out of the material world. They're not interested in anything else. I remember Prabhupada instructed us in 1975 in Los Angeles. He said, you've had millions of births. And in all those births, you've seen everything. You've done everything. You've tasted everything. There's nothing new under the sun. We think that we can experience something new, something different, something wonderful. It's simply charvananam, charvita charvananam, just chewing the chewed again and again and again. There's nothing new. So then Prabhupada said, so therefore, just give this one little life to Krishna. If you've had millions, it's just this one little life, just give it to Krishna. And then he went like this, so finish up your business in the material world and go back home, back to Godhead in this life. That's what he said, finish up your business in this life, in the material world, and go back home, back to Godhead. So the sages in Naimisharanya, they're only interested in that. The sages in the forest, they're only interested in that. The sages who ask Sukta Goswami to speak, who ask Shukadeva Goswami to speak, who ask any Bhagavatam reader to speak, the great sages even in Melbourne in the 21st century, they only want to hear the message of Bhagavatam so that they can be inspired to go back home, back to Godhead in this life. So, Shukadeva Goswami was a great transcendental devotee. He was equipoised. His mind was always concentrated on the eternal. He was transcendental to mundane activities. But he presented himself as just some ordinary person. He didn't have a bunch of followers going Haribol, Haribol, waving flags, and you know, here's the great Jagat Guru. He was very, very humble. He didn't want any of that. Prabhupada was equally very, very humble. It took us a long time before we actually started to glorify Prabhupada. It was only after about 4 or 5 years when Hare Krishna was a worldwide, it was known worldwide, and the movement was a worldwide known movement. And everybody thought that Prabhupada's name was Hare Krishna. Hey, Hare, how you doing? Then the devotees realized that, you know, we should be
promoting Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada only promoted Krishna. That's all he did. He was the transparent via media. In other words, he was like a window. When you look through a window, you see the trees, you see the birds, you see the sun, you see the sky. Nobody looks at a window to see the glass. Right? Are you sure? Sorry?
Only a window cleaner looks at the glass.
So we're meant to look beyond the external appearance of the material world and see deeper. The learned sage, the learned Brahmin, he doesn't see the elephant, he doesn't see the dog, he doesn't see the dog eater, he doesn't see the Brahmin, he doesn't see the sannyasi. He sees the spirit soul in everyone's body. And that's why he's called a learned sage. But if you see brahmacharis, sannyasis, grihastas, and vanaprastas, it's your external vision. You're not seeing deeply enough. You're not seeing through the eyes of Shastra. Chakudana dilaje janme prabhuse. He opens our darkened eyes and fills our heart with transcendental knowledge. But chakshudhan, he's giving us the vision, a benediction of vision, of transcendental vision of Shastra. Then divya gyan hriday prakashita, that divine knowledge becomes manifest in our heart. It doesn't come from outside. It's a mystical internal experience. We sing it every day. Divya gyan, divine knowledge, hriday, in the heart, prakashita, becomes manifest. How does that happen? Sarvasya chaham riddhi sannivishto matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna is seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes knowledge, jnana, remembrance, smriti, and forgetfulness, apohan. He also says, Desham satata yuktanam vajatam priti purvakam dadhami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayati. That when we are engaged in devotional service means with devotion. It's not service. It's service with devotion. There's a difference. So when we're always engaged in that, the dami buddhi yogam tam, I give you that intelligence of pure yoga. That pure remembrance and knowledge of yoga. Why Krishna does that? Yena mam upayankite, so you can return and come back home, back to Godhead. Come to me. Krishna's arms are open. Come to me. Come to me. And we're saying, well, let me think about it. We're not so sure. We're not 100% convinced. That's why we're still here. Because if we were 100% convinced in our last life, we would have gone back to Godhead. But in our last life, we weren't 100% convinced. We failed to return back home, back to Godhead. But Krishna gave us another chance. He's given a million chances. Why not a million and one? Just like Prabhupada instructed us, you've had millions of births. Okay, here's a million and one. But when are we going to finally get it and pass the exam? It's called the final exam. If you don't pass the final exam, then you have to write it again. You know, in India, parents save so much money to send their kids to America to go to a university to get their degree. And if they fail, they do not pass that final exam, it is such a disgrace that they commit suicide. Rather than say, I failed. They can't do that. They'll go to the top of a building and jump off. End their life.
We don't have to do that. We've come back here, and again we're sitting and listening to Bhagavatam, but are we going to get it right this time? This is the point. It's up to you. We all have our freedom to choose. We can be 1% committed, 10% committed, 50% committed, or 100% committed. And to be 100% committed means that when you chant your japa, you chant with devotion. This is also devotional service. If you chant with no devotion, just to get it over with, then you're just doing karma kanda. Who knows the eighth offense? There's 10 offenses, right? How many offenses? What's number 8? To consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities mentioned, offered in the Vedas, in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. It's there. But in our line, we consider that an offense if we don't do it with devotion. If we just do it for my own benefit. Karmakanda means I do something to get something in back. How do you translate Karmakanda, Sanskrit phrase, into English? Business. I do something to get something back. So Karmakanda means business. So to make a business of chanting Hare Krishna, which means that I'm doing it so I get some benefit, is considered an offense. Who considers it offense? Well, Krishna is very broad-minded. He may not consider it as an offense. Just like, for example, parents have a young child, and a nun child may be very naughty. But they don't take it seriously. He's just a kid. They can understand. So Krishna understands. But who considers it an offense? Huh? All the gurus in parampara, all the acharyas consider it an offense. Radharani considers it an offense. You are chanting my Krishna's name for your own benefit, doing business with my Krishna's name? Oh, she doesn't like that. And if we chant with devotion, Radharani says, oh Krishna, see how sweet this person is. You please give them your mercy. Okay. Radharani says, give them mercy. Krishna just says, sure. Why not? So we have to chant with devotion. Then it's be devotional service. If you take the devotion out of the service, is it still devotional service? I'm asking you to think now. If you take the devotion out of the service, it's no longer devotional service. Prabhupada was very specific. Bhakti means devotional service. He didn't say it just means service. Seva means just service. Bhakti means the added dimension of devotion. And this is what the Bhagavatam is all about. So this is why Vyas has written it down. But after he wrote it down, he wasn't so pleased with himself. He felt, even though I've done all this work, from my own memory, I've committed it down so that generations of thousands and thousands and thousands of years, people will be able to have the benefit of all these Vedic literatures, still I feel something missing. And he was a little bewildered. I should feel completely satisfied having done this. But somehow I don't feel completely satisfied. And then who appears on the scene? Narad Muni. Narayana, Narayana, playing his veena.
Oh, Vyas, you look disconsolate. What is the problem?
Well, I don't know.
I've done this service. I've compiled all the literatures. I wrote it down. I had Ganesh as my scribe. We worked together. We got it all here now. But somehow or other, I should feel ecstatic, but I don't. Narayana said, well, there's a reason.
There is?
Oh, my dear Guru, please tell me. Because Narayana Muni was the Guru of Vyasadeva. Immediately he said, yes, you are knowing everything. Please enlighten me. He said, you forgot the most important thing. To broadcast the glories of the pastimes of Sri Krishna, which gives joy and inspiration to the hearts of all living beings. And that's why Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled. Then Vyasadeva realized that's what it was, yes. I want to compile the pastimes of Sri Krishna and the pastimes of those pure devotees who served Krishna, who gave their lives for Krishna. That's what I want to do. And so, immediately, thank you so much, Gurudev. Immediately, I got to compile this literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. And as he was doing it, he was reciting to his wife, and Shukadev Goswami heard it. So Shukadev, now, why he has the name Shuka? Shuka means a parrot. So our acharyas tell us that in a previous life, this Shukadev Goswami was one of Radharani's parrots. And the quality of a parrot is that when they bite into a fruit, it tastes sweeter than it was before. They can make something sweeter when they taste it themselves. So Shukadev Goswami, when he spoke the Bhagavatam, it became sweeter than Vyasadeva spoke it. But then Suta Goswami, when he repeated to the sages at Naimasharanya what he had received from Shukadev Goswami, it became sweeter still. And now we have received it from Srila Prabhupada and it's become even more sweet. We are so fortunate because Bhagavatam is so sweet for us that the sages in Naimasharanya, they would be praying, if only we could have been there when Prabhupada spoke, when he gave his purports. So we could have heard that. Because there were no purports. When Shukadev spoke, when Suta Goswami spoke, they spoke the Bhagavatam. But they didn't dive as deep as Prabhupada to bring out the deepest nectar for us. So we are the most fortunate of all sages. But if we don't utilize this great good fortune bequeathed upon us by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. If we don't utilize this, if we don't become inspired and go back home, back to Godhead in this life, if we have to take birth again, then we become the most unfortunate. Choice is yours. You can be the most fortunate, perfect your life, or become the most unfortunate and miss the best opportunity you ever had in millions of births. So here in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that Vyasadev, he wanted to compile this literature not just for sages, but for everybody, for women, for shudras, for fallen brahminical people. And he knew that in the Kali Yuga, kalo shudra sambhava, everybody is a shudra in Kali Yuga.
Nowadays, everybody is a Shudra. There are no Brahmins left. To be a qualified Brahmin in this time means that you could recite at least one Veda by heart. If you couldn't recite at least one Veda by heart, then you weren't considered a Brahmin. How many Brahmins are there in the world today? How many can recite the one Veda? How, you know, what to speak of a whole a Veda? How many can recite even an Upanishad? So the point is that we're Kalo Shudra Sambhava, that in the Kali Yuga everybody is Shudra. So we're thinking that we joined this movement, we took first initiation, and we took second initiation, now I'm a Brahmin. But that's not how Prabhupada thought. When he gave the Brahminical, the Gayatri Mantra, he said, now become a Brahmin. It's not that 1 minute ago you were a Shudra and 1 minute later you're a Brahmin. It's not how it works. When he gave sannyas, he said, now become a sannyasi. Vacho vegam manasakroda vegam. Jiva vegam ugarapashta vegam. You control all these urges. The urge of the tongue to speak and to eat. The urge of the belly and the genitals and the mind and the anger. It's not that 1 minute I can't control them and the next minute they're all controlled. It's not how it works. It's a process. Everything is a process. Now become a sannyasi. Now become a Brahmin. Now become a Vaishnava. So Prabhupada has given us everything to become a Vaishnava. Doesn't matter who we are. We can be a Shudra, or we are a Shudra anyway. We can be male, female, child, old man, you know, Aborigine, African, Chinese, makes no difference who you are. It's all external. Internally, we're all spirit souls. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental to all material conceptions because it has nothing to do with anything mundane. And therefore, Prabhupada says in the last line of the purport, so the inquiries, any inquiries about Srimad Bhagavatam are very intelligent and very relevant. So here, Shonaka Rishi is making some inquiries. And we'll stop here, and I'll give you an opportunity now to make inquiries, because they're all very intelligent and relevant. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Yes, Prabhu.
How to control their senses in the beginning when they are practicing devotional service?
Well, in the beginning, everybody comes with uncontrolled senses, so no one can control them in the beginning. You have to gradually. So the tongue is the most voracious of all the senses. So if we begin by controlling the tongue, okay? So that means, number one, we only eat Krishna prasadam. We don't eat anything else. That type of tapasya we have to do. So maybe you pass a shop when you're down on Swanston and you see your favorite Belgian chocolate, but you walk past it and you're not going to take it because you're following tapasya. I only take Krishna prasadam. Number two, I only use my tongue to speak Harikatha. I don't speak nonsense. I don't speak anything negative. I don't find faults with anyone. I simply use the tongue in kirtan. Kirtan means to glorify. So I glorify the devotees, I glorify the Lord, I glorify the process, I glorify prasadam, I glorify the temple, I glorify the deities, I glorify the parampara. Nothing negative, nothing material. So these two things, that's the beginning. That's how you start, by controlling the tongue. Vacho vegam, speech. Jiva vegam, your taste. So these things are important. And
There's the do's and the don'ts. So those are the do's. And other do's are that very important is use your tongue for chanting the purification mantra. You know the purification mantra? It goes like this. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. With devotion. Not to get it over with. One second. Is this familiar to anybody? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I gotta get a Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I gotta get a Hare Hare, Hare Hare. Oh, finished my rounds. Thank goodness. Not like that. Like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Oh, I'm finished 16 rounds. My dear Lord Krishna, I just finished 16 rounds. I wish I could chant more. I'd like to chant 32 and 64, but I have some service to do. Please don't mind if I stop. I'll do a little service and I'll chant your holy name again. Hare Krishna. Is that a better way to end? How many people think it's a better way to end? So don't forget, it's not devotional service if there's no devotion. Yeah, in India the system is everybody sits down and you have servers. In the West, the system is the prasadam sits down and everybody serves themselves. It's called buffet. And in ISKCON, that's how we used to do it in the beginning. And then the first devotee that came back from India showed everybody, no, you all sit down. We're going to get servers and we're going to serve you all. Okay. And that's what we were taught. You don't serve yourself because that just feeds the greed. Yeah, I want this, I want that, I want more of it. No, you just sit there and you let them serve you. Now, if they say, do you want more, then you can say yes. If they don't, you just accept what they give you. That's a tapasya. Because you may want more, but they didn't ask, do you want more? Now, you can say less. In India, we're always saying, no, less, please, not so much. So, yeah, that's how, the Vedic concept is that the servers serve. Also the Vedic concept, and it's not always practical to do in a big institution, but the Vedic concept was that the person who cooked was the person who did the offering, was the person who served. And it was an ecstatic thing. I cook, I do offer to Krishna, and I serve the Vaishnavas, and then I take. That's the Vedic. That's how he did it. Srila Prabhupada taught us by his example. He would cook, he would offer to Krishna, and he'd serve out the devotees. Prabhupada. He would serve the devotees his own cooking. I wasn't there, unfortunately. But can you imagine? So Prabhupada, he taught, he was the acharya because he taught by his example. Yes, Prabhu.
So, thanks for all the class.
Thank you.
And question about the Amrita. You did mention that the glories of Bhagavad is really very good. Now, when we read Bhagavad, what is the change we are expecting? Is it transformation? We have to get realized just not really. So, how do we find we are getting realized? And
well, you become inspired to become more spiritual and you lose the taste for the material. It's the reason why you come here in the first place, because you become what Prabhupada used the phrase, materially exhausted. I've tried everything in the material world and I'm not satisfied. It doesn't satisfy me. There's still something lacking. So we come to the conclusion there's got to be something else. And so we come looking. That's called the search, searching. So we try different paths. We come, finally, we meet a devotee and we come to this path. And then we take up the process. So Adha Shraddha, it begins with faith. So we have faith. Okay. This sounds good. These people, like when I first met the devotees, I was already following a yoga practice. I was already vegetarian. But I met the devotees, and I'd been to so many different yoga groups. And when I met the devotees, I saw them offering obeisances to each other. No other yoga group ever did that. I thought, these people are humble. Because in all the books that I'd read and studied, it says that the symptom of knowledge is humility. So I said, these people have knowledge, they're humble. So I thought, let me check this out. I was also doing Kundalini Yoga at the time. There was one Swami, Narayanananda Swami. This is when I was in London at the time. And I was living an austere life. I mean, I was a rock and roll musician, but I was an austere rock and roll musician. I only ate goat's milk and dates. I'd take a date in my mouth, take some goat's milk, chew it all up, and that was it. That's all I ate for months at a time. And do Kundalini yoga. And still wanted to be a rock star. Somehow or other, I thought that was okay. Krishna said, are you nuts? So he, you know, I met a devotee, and that devotee was preaching to me, and it opened up a whole new vista. And then at the end of this Kundalini course, Narayananda Swami said, there are other methods to raise Kundalini. And one of the other methods was kirtan. And I was thinking, why am I doing all this strenuous tapasya? I'll just go do kirtan with the Hare Krishnas and get the same benefit. Of course, then my mood was, you do something, you get a benefit. It's karma kanda. That's always our mood in the beginning. No one comes pure. So then I had faith, shraddha, and then sadhu sangha. So I began to associate with the devotees. I heard from them. They gave me the books. I took prasadam. I started to read Prabhupada's books. And then I came to the next stage, bhajana kriya. Okay, let me try it out. So I chanted my first japa, I followed the principles, I began to follow the process of devotional service, bhajana kriya. Then the next stage is anartha nivritti. If you do your bhajana kriya correctly, with devotion, with fixed focus of attention, you get to anartha nivritti, where all the negative, all the unwanted things gradually disappear from the heart. You lose interest in anything material. You no longer have interest to watch TV. You're no longer interested in going to the movies, going to a rock concert, or doing, you know, going to the sports events. You're no longer interested in any of that. You have no idea who the latest group is or what the top song is. You don't even listen to the radio. You have no interest in that. Then you come to the platform as you become more and more pure of nishta, where you're fixed. Now you are, you know, it's like the balance point. You're on the right side. You're not going to fall down now. Nishta means you're fixed. You're not going to fall down. Then you experience ruchi. You get such a taste for the holy name that you can't live without it. You reach the platform of ashakti. You can't live without it. You're so attached to the holy name that without the holy name, without the process of devotional service, life isn't worth living. I might as well just give up my life. And at that level, you're chanting so from the heart, so filled with feelings and emotions for Krishna, you reach the next level of bhava. Now, Smal Krishna Maharaj told me that in 1970, that means 4 years after the movement started, Prabhupada told him that Jamuna, you know who sings Govinda Madhi Purusham, he said she was already at the bhava stage in 1970, after 4 years. So, and then the next stage, Krishna Prema. And then there's different levels of Krishna Prema. So it's a step-by-step process. So the fact that you're here, you're already, just by looking at you, I can see you're already in the process of bhajana kriya. You have faith, you're associating with the sadhus. Now you have to do that bhajana kriya in such a way that you attain anartanivritti. All the inauspicious, unwanted desires vanish. So you've started. You're on the path. You're doing the right thing. Carry on with determination. And we get inspiration from reading about the great acharyas in the Bhagavatam, how they did it and how dedicated they were. If you look at Devahuti, for example, and you see the questions that Devahuti asks, they're so deep, so profound. Look at Kunti Devi, what great austerity she performed. She was a woman, but she did every austerity in the forest that her five sons did, the Pandavas, who were the greatest devotees of all. But Kunti performed all those austerities also. So we follow in the footsteps of the great acharyas, the great devotees of the Lord. Even look at Dhritarashtra's wife. What was her name? Sorry? Gandhari. Gandhari. She bound her eyes because her husband was blind. She performed that austerity. So what austerity are we asked to perform? Just eat Krishna prasadam, which is a million times better than bhoga anyway. It's not even an austerity. Because we go traveling many different places, and when we go to yoga centers and do kirtan, they offer us vegetarian fare, but it's not cooked and offered to Krishna with love. Not really prasada. So we asked Srila Prabhupada in 1976, we were on traveling sankirtan in India, and we said, Srila Prabhupada, we're traveling all over India, and in those days there was only 5 ISKCON temples in India. We're going all over places where devotees have never been to distribute your books. What do we eat? So Prabhupada gave 2 choices. 2 options. 1, just eat raw fruit, nuts, and milk. But if you can't do that, he said, you go to a home of a Vaishnava who are pure vegetarian. You can take there, or you can go to a pure vegetarian restaurant and eat there. And you have to say this prayer. You know that prayer. He says, if you say that prayer, then Krishna will accept it and may turn it into prasada. And when you, especially at a restaurant, you do like that. And when you pay the money for whatever the bill is, then there's no karma. So that's what he instructed us. So that's what we do. But we can taste the difference between that prasada and the prasadam that's cooked and offered to deities in the temple. So it's really an austerity, not eating prasadam. But eating prasadam is not an austerity. Only speaking about Hari Katha, is that an austerity? Speaking nonsense is an austerity. But speaking Hari Katha, it's not an austerity. And so the austerity of the age is a Sankirtan Yajna. But what kind of an austerity is that? That's the most ecstatic thing you can possibly do. So our process, as Lochan Das Thakur has sung, is Kevala Ananda Kanda. It's simply ecstasy. It's only ecstasy, our path. But it seems like tapasya in the beginning, because we're attached to external things. That's all. Did I answer the question? Is that all right? Okay, thank you. Yes. Expanded himself into two. And in one Purana, they tell that story of the Shukadeva goes back and becomes a householder. But in this Purana, they only tell the story of the Shukadeva that never went back. How does it work for you? Yeah. On the spirit soul? Well, a yogi can divide himself, can expand himself in 9 different forms at the most. Krishna can expand himself unlimitedly. So what you're asking is that, so he expands himself into this body. Now, is the spirit soul, does he also expand? Two spirit souls? Is that your question? That's a good question. I don't know the answer. I'll do some research. I never thought about it. But that's a good question. Very thoughtful. Thank you. Yeah. Same spirit soul also expands. Indivisible. So she's been studying her Bhagavad Gita. So, yeah, if Prabhupada was here, we could ask him. Just like Hari Sori told me, he asked Prabhupada one question. And this is the kind of question you can only ask Prabhupada. He said, Srila Prabhupada, in the spiritual world, everything is fully conscious. Prabhupada said, yes. He said, even prasad is fully conscious? Prabhupada said, yes. So then Hari Sori said, so what happens when you eat a sweet ball? It's a fully conscious living entity. Prabhupada laughed at that. He said, the only way you can understand that is if you go there. So certain things, in order to understand, you have to go there. Another time he instructed us, I remember this, he said, we can't bring the spiritual realm down to our level of intelligence so that we can understand it. Rather, we have to bring our consciousness up to that level. So that's the process of devotional service. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.